Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is indeed to remember that the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is our friend. And in that effort, I think it's important that we ultimately remember the Lord. That is the kind of the title that I've given this sermon, this morning communion message, is to remember the Lord. So if you please open your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 12. I'm going to start in verse 1. Ecclesiastes 12, starting in verse 1. Just open up this with a question. Who knows what Ecclesiastes is about?
Meaningless life.
Meaning of life, right? Even though it starts off with everything is meaningless in life. Right. So, and it's written by Solomon after he's presumably lived a lot of his life, and he's looking back on it and just realizing all the pursuits that he has come to and what the fruits of those have been, and he is lamenting and writing all of this for the future. And so he ends, for the most part, ends Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 with this, starting in verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars were dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of your house tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease before because they are few, and those looking through the window grow dim. When the doors of the street are closed and the sound of the grinders fades, when the men rise up at the sound of birds, when all their songs grow faint, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond trees blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel is broken at the well. So all of this is kind of is a call for those to remember God when they're young, when they have the ability to live their lives and to create their foundation on God. He's urging the people not to wait until life has overcome them, when their joints fail them, when they can't get out of their home on their own, when they can't, when they have to have other people care for them, or even just for the simple fact because you don't know when death is going to take you. So we need to remember the Lord when we're young. Because as I've seen time and time again, when I look to the generation that's gone before me, a life without God can produce bitterness, loneliness, and hopelessness, but especially when you grow older. And because I remember, I can look at my grandmother on my mom's side, when she can forget God and just look at everything that's going on around her, nothing's going right, or at least the way she hoped. But when she remembers God, when her life is centered around God, it is fulfilling, it is richer, it's more bearable when sicknesses come up or disabilities come up or handicaps come up. In the past few years, her husband has been losing his mind, literally. Like, he can't remember things. He pretty much spends all his, well, now he's in a home, so he spends his days pretty much, eating food and then sitting in his room, not really conversing with anyone. But before, when he was at home, he'd spend his days in his lounge chair watching what he loved, golf. But he'd fall asleep probably 2 holes into it. or football, Pittsburgh Steelers or the Pittsburgh Penguins, whichever game happened to be on. But all through that time, my grandmother had to take care of him. And, you know, she had to draw on God, draw on the community of believers that were around her, because there were days when it was, you know, it was unbearable, because she realized, look, I've spent close to 60 years with my husband, and my life now consists of getting up, getting him to get up, taking care of him, making sure he gets a shower, making sure he feeds himself, you know, making sure he takes his insulin because he has diabetes and all these things. And, you know, she would go to church because she was like, oh, like, I can leave him alone. He won't go anywhere for about like an hour. But, you know, even now, most of her days just consists of her going to visit him all day. You know, maybe except for when the sun goes down. She doesn't like to drive at night anymore because her eyes, she knows she can't do it safely. But, you know, if she didn't have her life centered on God, I can just imagine the bitterness and the hopelessness that would encompass her life if she didn't have God, if she didn't remember God, if she didn't have a community of believers, she didn't have friends around her that helped lift her up. You know, I'm certainly the phone calls my mom gets her every Sunday help too. But all this to say that, you know, when we get older, these things can take up a lot of our time and will take a lot of our time. But if we have a life centered around God, we, again, it can be more bearable. Which is why it's important while we are young or young at heart, that while it is exciting to have youth and there are many things that we can spend our time with, we have to make sure that these things that we are doing don't become a barrier to what we can, our, what, don't separate us from God, don't hinder us becoming closer to God. Because a lot of the times, things that we can focus on when we're young or when we're in our younger years are just, as Solomon has accurately stated in many times, passing pleasures that really don't have any lasting value. But if we focus on growing closer to God, growing closer to those in the fellowship, the things that we learn, the things that we will build around our faith and our foundation in Christ will have eternal value in our lives. And, you know, I think just remembering that, and I would encourage everybody to, you know, read, not just read through this, these six verses, but read through Ecclesiastes and see the conclusion, some of the conclusions that Solomon comes to after living the life that we know that he lived in such luxury and richness and fullness. He lived and pursued anything and everything that most of us could possibly imagine as the ruler of Israel and people. And he writes this at toward the end of his life, and you know, I was like, oh. And yeah, a lot of it doesn't really mean a whole lot. And so I share this as kind of as a call to all of us, and to make, you know, to make your strength available to God now while you can. You know, don't waste it on meaningless activities that become, that develop bad habits and can possibly eventually make you callous toward God and those around you in the world. You know, we never know when life throws things at us and hinders our ability to do these things that we desire to do for God. Whether it's you know, cancer or, you know, some other debilitating illness, maybe it's a blood clot or a stroke, or even just our overuse of some of our ligaments and tendons can hinder our ability to help those that need it. In transition, I'd like to, as remembering the Lord, I'd also like to remember what we have in Christ, in our relationship with them. So if you could turn to the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. First John chapter 2, 12 to 14, this is the apostles, first letter in the Bible, excluding the Gospel of John. This is talking about walking in the light. But he highlights a few things that I think are important for us to remember as we desire to live the life that God wants us to live, and as we remember the Lord. Starting in verse 12 of chapter 2 of 1 John. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven. I count of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known him. because you have known the Father. Skip the verse there. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil. So I just want us to notice the things that John writes about what he wants the children to remember, the fathers and the young men. And he repeats a couple of these as well. So first, he says, your sins are forgiven. Second, he says, you know God. By this he means they have an intimate knowledge of God that is worthy of respect and also imitation as well, to grow to that understanding. And he also says next that you have overcome the evil one. That is something that I think sometimes we can forget. We can feel like that's not true or that it's impossible. But John says that if we are walking in the light, that if we're disciples and we're continuing to do the will of God, that we have overcome the evil one through Christ. Fourth is that he says in the end, specifically to the young men, but I think just the young people also, is that you are strong and the word of God abides in you. I think sometimes we can, as we maybe develop one bad habit or two, we can believe that this isn't true, that we're not strong, that the word of God is not abiding in us. But because we have Christ, and as we continue to walk in him, that is the truth. We are strong. We are abiding in God. Two things that John repeats is that you know God and that you will overcome the evil one. I think because it's important for us to remember these two things. As much of it is great that we have enough, that our sins are forgiven, maybe that we are strong, the word of God abides in us. It's important to remember that we know God and to believe that we have indeed overcome the evil one thanks to Christ. Because, you know, sometimes we can look at our lives and we can say, based on it, I really don't know God. Like, it's clear by maybe something that I just did or the week that I've just had. It's clear that I don't know God, and it's clear that I can't overcome the evil one. When, if you look at the scriptures, if you meditate on the scriptures, if you look at your life just excluding that, maybe that one week that you had that was maybe a little bit worse off, know you do know God. You have overcome the evil one, and you can do it again through Christ. So if you could skip back to your Bibles, I just wanted to close out with one more scripture. In 1 Peter 1, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. First Peter 1, 13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled and set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you when Christ is revealed. As obedient children, you have conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. So Peter's writing to the Christians to remember that, you know, of all the things that have come before them, the salvation that Jesus offered, the prophets, all of those that spoke and searched, you know, the Torah, the prophets, all the things that they searched through and suffered through, and even Christ, to as a result of those things, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, and place your hope fully in Christ. And as we remember the Lord, as we remember Christ and his sacrifice, I think these, very succinctly, these things that we ought to be doing. Prepare our minds for action. It's not enough to, prepare our hearts for action. It's actually prepare your minds. So, plan out maybe what you're going to do, or, essentially what we're saying is be intentional about what you have set out to do. Don't just kind of, while it's good to be spontaneous and kind of do things on a whim, that shouldn't be always how we operate. We should prepare ourselves for what we are going to do. Consider the things that could go wrong, consider the things that maybe will go wrong, consider the opposition that we might face. But also in all of that, be self-controlled, and because when we don't set our hope fully on Christ, we tend not to be. All in this to say, the reason for that is because we are called to be holy, as Jesus is. And while that may seem impossible, our brothers Peter and John have told us that it is possible. If we set ourselves fully on Christ, and if we remember the Lord. So as we take communion this morning, let's remember the Lord. Let's consider how we can better set our sights on growing closer to God, growing closer to Jesus, remembering that we have overcome evil, remember that our sins are forgiven, remember that we are strong, that we know God. And that besides all that, he does call us to be holy, to be self-controlled, not to give in to the desires that we had when we lived our lives in ignorance and sin. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for the lives that you've allowed us to live. That may sound weird, but it's taught us how much you love us, God, and how much our lives are in need of you. You allowed Solomon to live the life that he lived and all the luxury and everything that he had. And because given all the wisdom that he had, you wanted to write the things that he did in Ecclesiastes and so much more in the Proverbs as well, to help remember to put people in a right relationship with you, to remember you as they ought to, in their youth, in their zeal, in with the things that they have early in their lives. They don't get to the end of it and look back and see, I find no pleasure in the years that I lived, in the decades that I lived. God, we pray that you would help us to take hold of the things that we have now, to use them for you, to grow closer to you, to consider how we best do that, God. But in all of this, despite how we may be doing spiritually, God, good or bad or indifferent on the days that we have, I pray that you'd help us to remember that we have overcome the evil one through your Son, Jesus, through the blood of your sacrifice, God. We are strong. We do know you. Maybe we don't know as many Bible verses off the top of our heads as many people or can reference things or make comparisons, God, as people can, but we do know you. We do know your word. We do know what it says to some degree, and that can bring us closer to you. We don't want to just use what we have. I pray that you would help us to consider how best to consider our actions, prepare our minds for action, God, to be more self-controlled than we have been in days past, and also to rely fully on you as we ought to, God, because your burden is light, God, as you've said in your Gospels, God. We do this because we desire to be holy as you are. And your example is always encouraging, uplifting, and convicting to us, God. I pray that you would take hold of these scriptures as they are encouragement and also reminders, God, of how we best should remember you and take hold of the years and the days that we have on this earth. Pray all this as we consider and thank you in gratitude for your Son's sacrifice. Amen. Amen.
Okay.